Here's a story we've touched on before, and we're referring to it again this morning. The sad case of the Cole Island teenager, Ronan Hughes, who took his own life after being blackmailed online, has reached its conclusion after more than 2 years. Yesterday, Romanian man Ulian Inace was sentenced to 4 years in prison, having also pleaded guilty to the producing or distributing of indecent images of a child. It really is a heartbreaking example of how young people can be lured into a false sense of security online. I want to speak to an expert in the field, Jim Gamble. Jim, good morning.
Good morning, Frank.
Jim, this is such a sad story. Even though we're well versed on it now, it's a couple of years have gone past. When you see that little boy, young teenager, in on the front of the papers again this morning, you bring yourself back really to being a teenage boy, don't you? And the things that you might be drawn to and the steps that you might have taken and the risks that may have been, I suppose, not as obvious when we were children, but they're obvious now. And you have such sympathy for the kid.
Oh, I mean, Frank, I couldn't have put it better myself. I mean, that's exactly, every parent needs to reflect on the words you've just said. When you're talking to your children, sometimes it's important to remember that when we were young, we made mistakes and we were lucky enough that the internet didn't capture them and share them. So this case, you know, it's difficult to talk about in many ways because, you know, Ronan's parents' hearts are forever broken. And I'm sure this morning they'll be reliving a lot of the pain because you'll not be able to avoid it in the media. That being said, it's important that we take something positive from this case. We create a positive legacy. So the PSNI have done a simply world-leading job in this instance. You know, I've criticised the police in the past when they haven't got things right. So let's be fair here and say they have led the world insofar as they have captured sufficient evidence, begun an investigation, built a partnership with the Romanians, with Europol and with the National Crime Agency that has seen this man who's thought he could hide behind the anonymity of the internet be identified, located and punished. Now, whilst the punishment does not fit the crime, they've shown it can be done. So what we want to see is more of this. We want to see much more frequently people being brought before the courts and being punished. And of course, we want to see that punishment being much more severe.
How did they manage to actually catch him? Because when we first heard of it, we thought, well, no one will ever be brought to book for this. This young fella has been blackmailed. He's been unable to cope with the pressure. He's taken his own life. They're overseas, they're going to get away with it. It's, as you say, full marks to the police for managing to catch him. Sadly, the Romanian system seems incredibly lenient. He's only going to be in jail for 4 years. He's already spent some time in prison. He could be out in 2019. But we'll come to that in a moment. How did they catch him?
Well, they wouldn't want to go into the tactics and they wouldn't want me to do that. Suffice to say, once you go online, you're in a forensic environment that's unlike any other. That forensic trail never truly goes away. So they're able to deal with proxy servers, so where people try and hide. When they bring the combined might of good local evidence collection from that digital environment, good collaboration across Europol, which has a fabulous analytical capability, and of course the reach that the National Crime Agency have, who have successfully dealt with a number of cases that emanated from the Philippines, then they create a team that actually, if they can concentrate and retain the effort, is pretty unstoppable. So it proves the point that what goes online, you know, doesn't stay online, doesn't have to be hidden, it isn't about, you know, anonymity. We've developed skills. We need to see it happen more often. And I think, you know, let's just, for your listeners, this crime generally is targeted at men, at married men, because when they're engaged online by a very pretty young female who lives far away and convinces them to become intimate with them, then they actually have something to hide and something to lose, and they actually have money as well. So that's how the crime of blackmail in this sense comes out. So it's threats with menaces. What happens, the collateral damage here, and it happens in large numbers, is that young boys in particular get drawn into this. And of course, they don't have the maturity to put this in context. They're at a particularly vulnerable time in their lives. I think if I was a 16 or 17-year-old boy, I could have easily been caught in the way, not just Ronan, but Daniel Perry and so many others across the country have been. So we've got to recognize they capitalize on that vulnerability. So parents need to be talking to children tonight about this case. too often we deliver internet safety advice that's rhetoric. It doesn't make sense out of context. Use this real case. This is a real person. These are real hearts that have been broken. Talk to your child. Explain that everyone makes mistakes, that you did. Give them permission to have made mistakes. And reinforce the fact that the way to deal with this is to come forward as soon as you can. That's the way that we can inhibit images being shared, we can stop them, we can bury them, and we can much more effectively track the predator. These are important messages that parents shouldn't ignore today. Back to school is important, but when your child comes home tonight, if they're a teenager, early, mid or late teens, we need to be having those conversations because this case is real.
At any point, does a real girl appear on the webcam, or is it all done with photographs and texting?
No, in many of the cases, a real girl appears and is involved in, and very often that girl, I'm not speaking about the Ronan Hughes case, very often that girl will be manipulated, coerced and controlled by organised crime elements that sit behind this. Because in this case of sextortion, it's not like children sharing images with others and that, you know, themselves. This is where they are seduced into a scenario that they believe is mutual, but that scenario is created for the purpose of gaining money. So this gang in Romania, this individual involved in this in Romania, didn't do this because he wanted Ronan to hurt himself. He did this because he wanted to extort money. So if you're involved in this, if this happens to you, don't pay. My recommendation is suspend your social media profile for a significant period of time. Put Google alerts on so you can monitor what's being said about you online. But most of all, go to the police. The police deal with hundreds of these cases. They understand that these things happen. For goodness sake, we should all understand that they happen. The sooner you go to them, the sooner it will start getting better. And in many, many cases, in my experience, it does get better. In many cases, in fact, the majority, images aren't shared. Ronan was placed in an awful position. He did the right thing. He went to his parents. They did the right thing. They went to the police. In all instances, all things don't work out. What we need to learn from Ronan's case is the importance of wrapping a suicide prevention strategy around a young and vulnerable person the minute you find out this is happening. And that's a job for multi-agency safeguarding partnerships and the safeguarding board.
There's a cruel, mean streak in the Romanian guy who's been sent to jail to put into the public domain, to send the pictures of this young man, this child, to his mates and his friends was as disgusting and as filthy a move as any human being could do.
That's the truth. He's a despicable character. The problem is there are hundreds of thousands of them online. And the only way we can reduce the number, the only way that we can deter those individuals that prey on our children on the internet is to create an active, visible deterrent. PS and I have begun that by showing that even in these complex cases involving groups who have a level of sophistication, they can be identified, located and held to account. We need to see it happening much, much more frequently, much more frequently. And we all can play a part in that. If you're a teacher back to school at the minute, if you're someone involved in the foster system or a carer, if you see a change in behaviour, if you note someone being different around their technology, or you hear the rumour, you know that there's something happened online because there's no secrets in school. These things are talked about. That's about having a supportive intervention. That's about not resorting to meaningless rhetoric. And I hear meaningless rhetoric from people going into schools all the time about what goes online stays online. That's a message that eradicates hope. And the one thing you do not do, must not do, is remove hope from this scenario. What goes online does not have to stay online. If you're being threatened, if you're being intimidated, things can be done. And they're being done more frequently with greater success. And this is an outstanding example of that.
Without doubt, parents this morning, reading this story again, seeing young Ronan on the front of the papers, they'd be petrified because a lot of parents haven't the understanding of the internet that the 12 or 13-year-old has.
Well, great point, but here's the thing. There's a three-day cycle, unfortunately. When parents hear it or see it in the news, they're horrified that it happened to that young person. Day two, they're terrified still that it might happen to their own young teenager. Day three, they've gone back to default mode, which is, well, it won't happen to me, and they've got very busy lives. That's not a criticism. It's a reflection of the reality. That's why I'm saying real cases should be used to bring home the reality of what can happen to children and young people. Sit around the table tonight, have that conversation, even if it's forced. that this happened, that actually it could happen to anyone. If something seems too good to be true, generally it is. If you don't actually know the person, if you haven't actually met them, if you don't actually have a relationship with them, don't engage with them online.
How do we get the message across, Jim, even to the level lower than that, where you're not taking the step to engage with these people online, but you're very young and you're accessing everything that you can see on the internet? And I can't think of a better word other than world pollution, because some of the things that are on the internet are simply not for human eyes.
Well, there are those extremes that are not for anyone's eyes. And then there's the subtle stuff online, the advertising that's highly sexualized, those things that we see in people who, you know, we expect to set example for our children, or the people our children celebritize, the ones that, you know, Hannah Montana is a great example, all things Disney and nice, and then comes to a point where the image is changed to the twerking Miley Cyrus. That has a subtle impact on the young fans that follow. So the key here is education, education, and education.
Yeah, but just on that, Jim, because if they look at Hannah Montana, they look at Miley Cyrus, then they look at twerking, then they look at other women or men who are going to be involved in twerking, then they take another step, because by the time you've put in twerking, you're going to be offered a lot of sexual content. And how do you stop the teenage boy or girl, the really young kid, from doing four or five more clicks where they're going to be knee-deep in pornography?
Well, the truth is it's not easy. And that's why, just let me get this, the education isn't just a rhetoric of it. I mean, in other news this morning, we've learned that there's £56 per child being reduced in the education being put into Northern Irish primary schools. Education has to begin with instilling the right behaviours at the earliest possible age. That's what early help is all about. We instill those behaviours. We need to see stronger, better education and a better investment in that education going into our primary schools so that children from the earliest age intuitively understand some of these risks. We need to see that reinforced as part of the curriculum in schools for children and young people and use real case studies to bring home the real impact. I've seen children, when you talk to them in rhetoric, where their eyes glaze over. But when you take a real case study and you dissect that, how would you feel if this happened to someone in our school? How would you feel if this happened to one of your friends? Which is certainly the way we approach it. Where you see lights go on, where you see them deal with the reality of it. Kids, in essence, as people across the board generally, are good. They're inherently decent. Given the right information at the right time, very often they'll do the right things. But because they're young, invariably some will make mistakes. Giving them permission to have made those, but ensuring that you've planted a seed in their mind that if they do, make sure you talk to mum or dad. That could make all the difference. And multi-agency training is key. Suicide prevention planning, all of those things that we need to see reinforced. And my fear is, in an environment where money is being asset stripped from frontline services, is that we're not going to be making those investments in the way that we should.
And just on that, where you're saying that £56 per pupil has been cut from the budget going into this new educational year, you feel that things like internet security, having seminars about being safe online, those will be the first things that will be dropped if there's any cost with them?
Not only will they be the first things to be dropped, there'll be things that aren't happening that should be happening. We should have storybooks. Look, when I look after my grandson, you know, he's coming 3 years old. When I push his toy car to the door, we beep the horn to warn people that we're coming. You know, we pretend to signal. We need to begin preschool, early school, you know, Key Stage 1 and Key Stage 2, indoctrinating children with safer practices when they go into the online environment. And that can only be done by investment, and it will be investment to save. But we're trapped in this position where it seems to me that it's the frontline assets, those people on the front line of safeguarding our children, our teachers, our social workers. You know, that's where we need to see greater investment, greater education of those professionals so they're better able to deal with it, but actually equipping our children from an early stage with an intuitive understanding about what makes them safer.
And finally, Jim, is there anything that can be done? There certainly would be steps that could be taken if this was here in Northern Ireland. Is there anything that can be done to ensure that the person who was guilty of blackmailing young Ronan would spend more time in a Romanian prison, or is that a lost cause?
I don't think it's a lost cause. I think that the work can be done, ironically, through the EU, where we've, you know, currently a great partnership, and I know Europol have a significant influence. But you've got to put this in context. They have punished him for the crime of blackmail. He has pleaded guilty, and sentencing levels will be restricted. In the UK, for blackmail, you can go to prison for 14 years. You can go to prison for grooming for 14 years. But I've seen people in the UK go to prison for grooming a young person and getting that young person to share images for 2 or 3 years. In some instances, not at all. So we've got to put our own house in order, and I think you're right to highlight that. Within the blackmail offence, there's aggravating features if you target children. So I would expect someone prosecuted here to have gone to prison for longer, but you know what? I'm not sure that they would. And where the circumstances are as awful as they are in this particular case, I think there should be an additional aggravating factor that sees the maximum sentence being applied, because I am absolutely convinced there's a causal link between what this man did and what ended up happening to Ronan and his family.
Okay. Jim Gamble, thank you very much indeed for your time this morning, Jim. Thank you.
Thank you. Really welcome.
An expert in online safety and awareness of everything to do with the risks online, the expert Jim Gamble, who has spent much of his professional life working in the field. Right, it is 24 minutes past nine. Good morning. 90333105. What sort of conversations are you having with your teenagers? What do you say to them? And do they listen? Or do they, as Jim actually said, do they glaze over to some extent and just think, you know, that's ma and dad talking. What would they know? Do give us a shout and tell us what your approach is.